Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 2, and we'll be reading the first 12 verses together this morning. Very well-known part of the Christmas story, but it does no harm to read it just in full again now. So Matthew chapter 2 and the first 12 verses. It's the visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen. It doesn't matter how old or young we are, gifts and presents every year, they always take up a large amount of our Christmas. But I think it's fair to say that what we want every Christmas, or what our priorities are regarding presents, they change throughout the different stages of our lives. And I think there's almost like a cycle of Christmas gifts as we progress through life. Get my clicker. I'm sure we don't remember what we liked when we were a baby or a toddler, when we were that young, but I think it's safe to say we all were probably at what I'm going to call the cuddles stage of the Christmas present cycle. For those first few Christmases, I'm sure we all probably received all things cute and cuddly. Teddy bears, minions, stuffed animals, Pikachu, whatever it is, you don't ever see young children too far away from their favourite toy. If they aren't holding it, it's probably fair to say that it's in mummy's bag, ready to make an appearance as soon as the child wants or needs it. And then after a while, when that cuddly toy in particular, it's been thrown, it's been kicked, it's been chewed beyond repair, Christmas is just the right time then to get a new one. But then when we're a bit older, maybe at the start of our primary school years probably, I would say, then I think we come to the next stage of that cycle, and I've called this Toy Town. A child that could have 1,000 different toys in the house to play with, but come Christmas every year, you can be certain that Santa will bring more Lego sets, princess castles, remote control cars, and that countless hours of fun will be had with this year's lot until, of course, that next year comes around. But then again, after a few more years down the line, we get fed up playing with our toys inside the house, and then we get to the great outdoors stage, and we start hoofing footballs into our next door neighbour's garden as we try and score a goal into our new football net, or we'll start racing our friends around the block with our new swanky bike or our scooter. Maybe we'll hurt ourselves as we lose control on the trampoline, trying all those front flips and back flips, or maybe fall off our skates or skateboard. But sure, again, a few bumps and bruises along the way still don't take away from the fun. And there's more to come yet. A couple of more years down the line again, we go from the great outdoors to the great indoors. And the only thing probably getting much exercise in these years is your thumbs, because technology becomes the latest craze in our lives. And we want the newest mobile phone, new iPhone, or whatever it might be, to text our mates and to scroll through all those Facebook, Twitter, Insta posts, not social media, checking those likes. Or we want the latest PlayStation or Xbox to play online. Might even tell mommy and daddy that we need a new laptop to help with our schoolwork. You'll throw that wee excuse in, but really, you just want it so you can lie in bed and watch Netflix all day. And then another little while down the line, when we get maybe into those later awkward teenage years at high school, we've all been there, when boys start to meet girls and girls start to meet boys, it's all about keeping up appearances. We want the latest fashion trends so that we can dress to impress that certain someone. And then when that doesn't work, out comes the aftershave or the perfume so we can try and catch their eye that little bit even more. Then, after you've met that person, after you've met that person and maybe you're married and you have a house to look after now, there's one last stop on the cycle, and that's adult life. And things that once seemed completely pointless to you as a child now suddenly are at the forefront of your mind. We want the latest kitchen utensils to help with the cooking, the plates, glasses and mugs to serve that food and drink on, maybe some ornaments and candles to add a little bit of ambience to the house. Maybe you'll get a nice new TV for your living room, but let's be honest, you're going to have to treat yourself to that because you're too old for Santa now, and I'm sure you can imagine the look you'd get from your family if you asked one of them for a TV. Or maybe, when you have a house to run, you don't even want presents. You simply just want cash in hand so you can buy whatever you need and want and don't have to awkwardly return that present the in-laws bought you that you just hate the look of. That's the last stop in the cycle. But then you have children, and the cycle comes back full circle. And instead of wanting to get all of these presents, you're seeing it all go out of your bank account now, and you're having to buy all of these things. And the cycle goes round and round and round. And then when the grandkids come around, it all starts over again once more. The never-ending cycle of Christmas shopping. And of course, gifts were a central part of that first Christmas, just like they are a continual central part of our Christmas today, whatever stage of that cycle we're at. And of course, the most obvious form of gifts in the Christmas story is found in the passage we just read, when the wise men or the magi, they come and visit Jesus. The magi, they saw the star, and when they saw it, they knew it was no ordinary star. We don't know exactly where these magi came from, but it's believed that they would have interacted with Jews in Babylon, and as a result of this, they would have been familiar with their Old Testament. Perhaps the prophecy in Numbers 24 and verse 17, where it says that a star shall rise out of Jacob and a scepter out of Israel, perhaps that prophecy was ringing in their heads at this time when they saw that star. But one way or another, God's Spirit was moving in the hearts and minds of these magi so that they knew a king had been born. And immediately, this new king became their priority that Christmas. They made a stop in Jerusalem at King Herod's palace where they inquired as to where that child was to be born. A fairly logical stop in human terms. I mean, it is natural or normal to think that a king would be born in a palace. But this king was not an earthly king, and a palace was not his rightful place. Nonetheless, Herod, he was able to tell the Magi where exactly to go after he consults his advisors, who tell him the prophecy in the book of Micah that the child was to be born in Bethlehem. And so he sends the Magi on their way, and also he sets in motion his cunning plan to dispose of this apparent threat to his position. The Magi go onward with their journey, and the star leads them straight to where Jesus was. And when they arrived, they present their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But before this, before they presented their gifts, they also did something very important. Let's read verse 11 again of Matthew chapter 2, where it says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Because the wise men, before they offered their gifts, they made sure to offer worship and adoration to the newborn king. They recognized just exactly who this child was. He was God's promised son who had come into the world in order to save the people from their sin. And there's a lesson in this here for us too. Because in amongst the busyness of this time of year, and amongst wherever you're receiving or you're buying gifts, wherever you are along that cycle of Christmas presents every year, how often do we simply just get caught up in it all and forget just exactly who God is? How often do we feel the need to do, or simply how often do we feel the need to do, or simply things we want to do? How often do we feel all just the need to do all those certain things before even we give God a thought? And then we only give God maybe a handful of minutes before we go to bed. Or how often we simply don't even give him any time altogether, and a day's passed and we haven't spared God one single thought. The Magi, they were not Jews. They were from the East. They were Gentiles. They had some knowledge of the Old Testament, but it wouldn't have resonated with them just as much as the word should have for a Jew. And along with this, they were wealthy. They had gold, they had frankincense, they had myrrh. These were not cheap materials by any means, but these weren't the treasures that their hearts were longing for. In verse 10, even only when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And then again, in verse 11, when they finally saw the baby in person, they fell down and worshipped him. Despite not having a real, deep, profound knowledge of God, despite having all these riches of the world that they could be taken up by, they still realized immediately the significance of who was born in Bethlehem that day. And because of this, because they recognized just who exactly the child was, they then realized that the very first thing they had to do when they saw him was to simply bow down and worship him. Worship the one who was born to save them. We have the full entire Bible today. We have all that God wants us to know in it. There's probably multiple copies of it in your home, and yet how often we simply neglect it, or how often we grow cold of hearing those same old stories again. And if this has been our attitude this Christmas, then we need to get back to a place where we can respond in the same way that the Magi did. We need to be able to simply bow down and worship and adore Christ first, before anything and everything else. And how do we do this? Well, we have to remember just exactly who we are worshipping. And we can do that by looking at the gifts the wise men offered to Jesus. First gift was gold. Gold is obviously the most precious metal on earth, fit only for a king's crown. And this points us to Jesus' royalty. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When Jesus is called that exact title, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it means that in the end, all other rulers will be conquered or abolished, and he alone will rule supreme as King and Lord over the entire earth. There is simply no power, no king, and no lord who can oppose him and win. Jesus was king at the beginning of time, and he will be king at the end of time. There is no greater authority than him. He is the King of heaven, and as such, he deserves our full adoration and praise because of his authority. Secondly, we have frankincense, and this reminds us of two things. Firstly, as frankincense, it gave off a pleasant fragrance when it was burned. Because of this, it was seen as a pleasant or a holy or worthy sacrifice, symbolizing God's perfect holiness. And secondly, because it was burned as part of a sacrifice offering, it reminds us of Jesus' willingness to be our sacrifice, to take the place for our sin that we committed. Because Jesus, the King of heaven, he came to this earth to be your perfect, holy sacrifice and to save you from your sin. And thirdly, we have myrrh. And myrrh was a spice used to help preserve the bodies of the deceased. And it also was sometimes mingled with wine to form a drink. And such a drink was given to Jesus when he was about to be crucified, and the Bible describes it as sour wine. And this is what myrrh symbolizes: bitterness, suffering, affliction, and death. Because the baby Jesus would grow to suffer greatly as a man and would pay the ultimate price when he gave his life on the cross for all who would believe in him. And these three gifts given to Jesus at the very start of his life, they outline the very gospel, the very reason why Jesus came to this earth. They tell the good news of how a king, he left his throne in heaven, lived a perfect, holy life, and willingly took the punishment of death, not because of anything he did, but for your sin and for my sin. But as we know, thankfully, Jesus' story, it did not simply end in death on the cross, because he would rise from the grave on that third day to defeat it, to defeat sin and death. And if we place our trust in him, we can be sure, we can be certain that one day we will be able to live in heaven with him forever. The gift is certain and it lasts forever. It simply is the best gift you can have. Not just at Christmas time, but for your entire life. And so, if you're struggling this Christmas to get excited, if you're cold in your faith, don't panic. It's a day after Christmas now, but it's not too late to strengthen it. And even if you do feel in a good place with God, your relationship can still continue to grow and grow and grow. So, remind yourself of the gospel. Remind yourself of the good news. Remind yourself of the greatest gift you could ever wish to receive. Remind yourself constantly of Jesus. And the more you do, the more refreshed your spirit will be. And then you won't be able to do anything other than to come and adore and worship Jesus immediately like the Magi. And after having first worshipped Jesus for who he is and what he's done for us, then in response to that worship, we have to offer our gifts to him like the wise men. We can give material gifts like money as offerings to God where we are in a position to do so. But if we truly believe in God, then the Bible tells us that our entire lives should be offerings to God. God has blessed us all with different talents, abilities, gifts. And as part of our worship to him, we should use them to the best of our abilities in order to glorify his name. The new year, it's often a time for resolutions. New year, new me, as they often say. So why not make it your resolution this year to give back to God because of his great gift to us at Christmas? Make it your resolution to constantly remind yourself of Christ so that you can worship him better, and then you can use your abilities and gifts he has blessed you with to further glorify his name. And if you're here this morning and you haven't yet accepted that gift of Jesus into your life, just think about that great gift that you're missing out on. Just think about that famous verse of John 3 and 16. Probably a bit hard to read there, but we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Christmas has come and gone for another year, but it's not too late to accept the gift. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, believe, and you shall be saved. The gift is certain. The gift lasts forever, and you absolutely will not regret it. So don't delay it any longer. Accept the gift today. Let Jesus take over your life and enjoy the certain assurance of a life one day spent with him forever in heaven. Amen.